What truth? What truths are in that in the words of that song? Amen. All that Christ is for us, has done for us. You know, when you study your Bible and you begin to see a lot of times in the Old Testament pictures of our Lord and what He did for us when He died upon the cross, that one action. That's as far as a lot of people get. They think Jesus was nailed to a cross, died for our sins, and was buried and rose again. Now that alone is enough to save the world. Just that knowledge. But there's more that happened while all that was taking place. What Christ was doing for us. And my goodness, and you can see that through the sacrifices that were made, through the offerings that were given up, through you know, the great pictures of men, of high priest, of Moses, of Joseph, of, you know, just so many, and all that their life, things that they did, pictures of what they did that paints us a literary portrait of what Christ did for us and what He is still doing for us. Amen. If we could see Him, we would see Him surely seated at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for the saints of God. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing to have such a high priest, to have such a Savior. And if you've got your Bible, turn with me to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Hard chapters. These chapters are chapters, of course, of sound truth and proof of what we're up against, of what is happening. It is prophecy being fulfilled in front of our eyes. And they had it in their day. Peter had it in his day. He was able to say, you know, what he was seeing, and, of course, to project it forward for us, you know, in what we would be seeing in the days of the coming of the Lord. Peter mentions in chapter 3, verse 10, the day of the Lord coming. And so he's like the other apostles, not just preaching about what the early church was seeing, the enemy that was there. They may not have been in such magnitude as it is the day that we're living in, but it was certainly there. And they didn't have 8 billion people living on the earth at that time. And internet that would wrap around the world, and visual presentations and audio that is everywhere, in every corner of the earth, either telling people the truth or deceiving people.
And the majority is deceiving people today. Unless you are grounded in truth, listen, unless you are grounded in the truth, it's very important that you are grounded in the truth of the Word of God, in its doctrine, in its faith, in our beliefs, those things that we have been taught, those things that we have learned, things that we see from the Bible. These things, unless you are grounded, it is easy to be carried away with other wind of doctrine. The apostles warned their people. Before I read, I want to give you an instant. When I served the Lord in missions in Egypt, I saw how that our believers there, and good people, I believe, saved people, they were enticed by some of the American churches that they saw on the internet, because they saw these worship teams started to come out, you know, and how they would get out there and you know, really stir up, and they thought that's what they needed to do. And had we not curbed that right from the beginning, they could have been very easily took into something that, listen, God never intended for them to be got into. I'm all for worshiping the Lord. Are you listening to me? I love to worship the Lord. Praise God, lift your hands. If the Lord fills your cup, shout it out, amen. But this worldly element that is filling sanctuaries and buildings today is not of God. It's not of God. And so I said it. And in chapter number 2 of the book of Peter, you have to read all of it, but for sake of time, we just want to try to get down to where we want to read. I'll begin reading at verse number 18. Now he's talking about here false prophets and the things they say, and those who would follow them. Now, they're not just going to say, I'm a false prophet, follow me. They're going to present themselves as teachers of light, as teachers of truth. Satan, that's the way that he appears, as an angel of light. His ministers are as the ministers of righteousness. Now, I'll tell you what, there are those that are not ashamed. I saw something the other day someone sent to me, and it was supposedly right over here in Young Harrison, Blairsville, where an assembly was gathered together for satanic worship. Satanic worship. Can you imagine that? And encouraging people to come out, and they talked about their last meeting. What a great influence that they, you know, and a good crowd, you know, was no doubt drawn in, and how well that they did the last time. And are people actually falling for something that, I mean, that has the devil's name actually tagged to it? Yes, they are. People are. And so so much the more that he does not just place his name upon. That is very deceptive. He says of these, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity. Lord, I could stay right there. I mean, I could give you books upon great swelling words of vanity. I mean, that's the title of most of them's books, amen? These great swelling words of vanity. And that's all that it is. For when they do, they allure through the lust of the flesh. You see, that's what people want. They find what people want. They allure through the lusts of the flesh, different avenues of lusts. Not just, when people see that, they think sexual. Lust comes in many forms. And so those desires of the flesh and of the mind, those lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them, not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, there's a lot in these verses that I don't have time to get into all the things that are in these verses. These verses have been misinterpreted. They've been, you know, taken to make you think that you can actually have something as eternal as the very life of God and then lose it. One thing that you need to always know in dividing the scriptures, taking all of it in its context, but also to see the language that, you know, that it, and how that language is saying it. This dog is a dog, and it's always a dog, and it turns to its vomit. The sow that was washed just outwardly is still a sow. And that's why it goes back to its wallowing in the mire. These are people that are unchanged. They have been presented the truth. They have seen the truth. They have heard the truth. And they have turned from it. Now, the Bible said for after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that means, listen, that they have now seen. It is not necessarily that they got away from it, but they were not so enveloped in it that they could not see what it was. Through the truth, sinners can see what they're wrapped up in. They can see that they're a sinner. Is that not right? They can see their sin. They can see their sin. They can see hell and heaven. They can see right and wrong only through the truth. It is the truth that sets men free. The truth of God. It is only accepting that truth that will set a soul free. Amen? I mean, you have to receive with meekness the engrafted word, the truth. You have to receive that truth. Then it will save your soul. It's not enough just to see it and say, oh, there it is. But you have to receive it. Not just believe it, but receive it. To receive it. To act upon it. And he said it was better. It had been better for them. And I begin to think about them when I read that verse. Them. Who is them? All of them. All of them that had known, they have heard. They are many that are religious. There are many that are following these men. If you go all the way back in chapter number one, Peter starts out talking about us, the saved, talking about the redeemed, talking about us who truly have escaped. Verse number 4, whereby are given exceeding great and precious promises that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That is us. That is you and me. We literally have escaped. Now listen, they hadn't escaped like we escaped. Amen. Oh, in the chapter I read, it talked about them escaped, they hadn't escaped, like you and I have escaped. We have escaped. We've been given a divine nature, amen? We've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so you look at who we are. We have a calling in verse 9. We have an election. We've not believed the lie in verse number 16. We've not fallen for some grand lie. We have the oracles of God. We have been made known the power of Christ and His coming. Amen. We have in verse 19 a more sure word of prophecy. We that prophecy came to us. By old time, men of God. Amen. I'm glad I got mine that way. I mean, people may say, well, you know, this is the argument today. Well, you know, the church, you know, the way that it always has been, you know, that's their preference of the way church should be. But now in our day, things are, you know, we've got another generation, and we've got our preference of how things should be. I'm glad that I got in the, under the old-time prophecy preaching, amen, by old-time men of God that were moved by the Holy Ghost. I'm glad that I got in that way. I think the next person that gets in, they'll get in that way. What we need is that old time holy men of God speaking as they're moved by the Holy Ghost. Hey, that'll still get the job done. That'll still save sinners today. That is us. All of chapter 1 is us. The saved. Amen. The redeemed. But then there are false prophets in chapter 2. These false prophets, amen? There were false prophets also among the people. False prophets among the people. There's many false prophets among the people. the crowd that we see out there, the fields are wide unto harvest. These false prophets among the people, they are wolves among sheep. Amen. Wolves among sheep out there among the people. And these many follow their pernicious ways, the lust of the flesh in verse 2. Now listen, they went this way and they went in this erroneous way. And they bring upon themselves swift destruction, the Bible said. Now listen, God said these prophets, these false prophets, that's what they are, false prophets, and they're among the people, and there are many of them following their pernicious ways. Many of the people that are following these false prophets' lustful ways, these enticing ways, this enticing message. But listen, the Bible gives us three examples of people that followed men like that. God spared not the angels that sinned. Amen. When they had followed Lucifer, and no doubt he started just like he always has. He's got a good message. We can overthrow him. I'll exalt myself above the throne of God. And a third part of the angels followed his message. God spared not the angels. God spared not the antediluvians. He goes on down, he talks about that world of Noah, in the days of Noah before the flood. That's the antediluvians. What was it the preacher said in the revival that was here, that there were probably maybe at that time 1 billion people on the earth and 8 got saved. Even if there would have been 1 million to 8 being saved. What a destruction. What a destruction. God spared not the angels that sinned. God spared not the flood, the society before the flood, the antediluvians that sinned. But save Noah. I like that. Save Noah. And God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Gave them as an example. We have the angels that sin, the antediluvians, and the Sodomites. Are you listening? God does not spare them that follow this pernicious life, lustful life. But he marks them. Listen, there's marks of them in chapter number 2 and verse number 10. If you look there, he said, chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness. He said these despise government. They don't want to have anything to do with structure. I begin to really think about that. What is government? Is it what our government wants to make people think government is? Listen, government is not what we're looking at up there in the White House and the Capitol building. Those are people trying to run the government. What is government? It's a structured society. It's a home. It's a man and a woman having children. Amen? It's authority. It's God. And amen? It's leadership. It's God, the husband, the mother, the children. Amen. There are laws, societal laws. God gave the Israelites laws to obey. Structured society, how you treat one another. Amen. Government is how I treat you. We are the government. They despise government. They despise anything to do with the way government is set up. And that's what the devil's trying to do right now. He wants to wreck everything that you and I know as a stable society. No stable homes, no stable law, amen? No stable right. Such confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. Now listen, they despise government. Presumptuous they are, very presumptuous. All of them have got something to say. All of them presume different. Amen. Very presumptuous. Presumptuous are they. Have you ever seen people, I mean, you say anything, they've got a mouthful to say. They presume something else. They've got another way. They've got another theory. They've got another right, which is definitely wrong. Presumptuous are they. Self-willed. They are not humble. There's no humility. There's no submission. Amen. To authority or to right. They are self-will, self-government, presumptuous. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. That which is dignified, that which is structured. I got to thinking about this. Stay with me just for a second. The Bible says, search out the old paths. Wherein is the good way and walk therein. What would be wrong with our men and women to go back to the way things were in the early 1900s? What would be wrong with our women to start dressing that way again? Our men start acting that way again? We've lost a lot of convictions and etiquette and just things common, amen, because we have rolled with society. We have rolled with the age. We have really rolled with what Hollywood gauges and what the world, yet this is how you should look now. Amen? This is how you should be now. This is how you should believe now. This is what you should accept as normal now. Well, what would be wrong with us? Right, I'll tell you what. If we did something like that, they'd say we as a cult. There's something wrong with us. Amen. Who are they to gauge that? Who are they to determine what we do? Amen. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. They don't want a woman in the home anymore. Amen. A man working hard. They don't want, that's right. They don't want that kind of stuff anymore. No. They don't want women exalted to the position that God exalted them to. No, they can't even define what she is anymore. That's right. Of all the things, Brother Mike, they attack the woman. They have attacked the woman. That thing that God gave Adam. That thing that he said, Adam, you love it. You love it. You take care of it. She is your completion. Amen. She is a help meet for you. She's everything you need. Now, people read all kinds of stuff into all kinds of weird ideas, but I'm telling you, God loved the woman as much as he loved the man when he made him. Amen? Made her in Adam's image. Amen? In his own image that he was made. Think about it, and they have attacked the woman to not know what it is. And if you do that, listen, because from the woman, there'd be no marriage without the woman. Where would man be? By himself. Be no marriage without the woman. Be no children without the woman. No home without the woman. Amen? What is a home if a man's by himself? He might as well be in a pup tent. Hey, that's why they're trying to attack the woman. They're trying to strip her away, down to nothing, down to some God in heaven knows what it is they're trying to present to the world today. Some Frankenstein. Listen, I'm not trying to be mean. But listen, I tell you, it's detestable what's going on today. And people are following after that. And but they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. You just be a godly woman and see how the world looks at you and what they say to you now. Be a godly man and see what they do and say to you and how they speak to you. Be a godly youngin out here among other kids and teenagers and see if they don't snigger and laugh and put you down. That's exactly, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. They're proud and lifted up. Listen, in chapter number 2 of 2 Peter, verse number 12, but these as natural brute beasts, that's what Jesus called them, same ones that come in front of him at the cross. Brute beasts, dogs that compass me about. Made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not. Who are they to speak spiritual things to the church? Who are they to try to say what God says and what God doesn't say? They don't understand God. They won't even pick up His book. They've got in their own mind what they think they want God to be. Tell you what, God loves sinners, but He don't love sodomy. Amen. They speak, listen, he said, they shall utterly perish in their own corruption, shall receive reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Right out in the open, people. They want to be seen. They want the world to know. You can't even tell a true-sided story in a lot of these places. They'll shut you down. They're attacking free speech everywhere across the United States. Just sinful, ungodly, liberal, communist mess that we're looking at. Amen? And but listen, they count it a pleasure to write in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes. Sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. They want to be right in our midst. Look what he said in verse 14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. Listen, this is not a saved person here. This is not a saved person we're reading about. Beguiling unstable souls. Somebody that may even be thinking about trying to find the right way, they'll beguile them. Amen. They'll beguile them. And heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam. You know what he did? He was trying to teach Balak that if he would give his most beautiful women to the Israelite men, and then he'd cause those Israelite men to commit idolatry and adultery, and then God would curse Israel. That's what that prophet told Balak to do. Using a sinful avenue to corrupt the people of God. Anybody seen that happening today? Using sinful avenues to try to corrupt the people of God. They've gone the way of Balaam. Amen. Oh my gosh. Oh Lord, have mercy. He loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. God will still rebuke iniquity. He wants us to rebuke iniquity. Listen, he said, look what he said about them in verse 17. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest. One writer said this, in the desert, it's distressing to find a well that ain't got no water in it. or to see a cloud that won't give no rain. You could you imagine that? Thirsting to death, finding a well, and find it ain't got no water, it's been filled up with dirt. Or seeing a cloud and trying to fall hoping maybe it would rain, and it never, never, never gives any rain. That's what they are. They are wells without water, clouds without rain. They look like something that can solve your thirsty soul, but they'll never give you the water that you're looking for. That water of life that satisfies, they'll never give it to you. They'll never be able to give it to you. Oh, my goodness. They speak great swelling words of vanity. Listen, I'm trying to hurry. We read, it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to known it and turn from it. People to know and people still choose to live that life, to go that way. Who are some of these teachers? Well, they're preachers, they're pastors, they're speakers. They're teachers and public educators, psychiatrists and psychologists. Sometimes they're even parents that tell their kids they're okay. Listen, parent, if your kid's lost, they're not okay. And I tell you this, listen, I tell you this because I love you. You need to have your youngin' here when the doors is open in Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or they may never get saved. Are you listening to me? What is worth them missing the gospel, missing being born again, missing the opportunity that 1 hour God would pass by their way and speak to their heart? Oh, don't just give them the world out there. That's what the false prophets are doing by the gobs. All easy. You know, it's all good. It's all love. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy upon anybody that would deceive even their own youngin'. Don't listen to that. You don't have to listen to that preacher. All that stuff. That's too, you know. That's his own opinion. If I ever give you my own opinion, I'll tell you I give you my own opinion. Anything else I try to say, it'll be right here from his book. It's because I love you. I care about you. I care about your kids. In this day, in this deceptive, most deceptive day, they're after mine as much as they're after yours. Nobody's susceptible to this. Nobody's susceptible to this. And you and I, listen, in our most noble way, serve God to the best of our ability. To be a light, listen, to be the salt of the earth in this day. God help us to be. God help us to be a beacon of truth in a world that is so deceived. Be not ignorant. He said in chapter 3 of verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of. Willingly ignorant of some things. In verse 8 he said, but beloved, be not ignorant. You that are saved, don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant like them. The Lord is not slack, verse 9 of chapter 3, concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Here it is, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Now, there's a lot that happens in that verse right there. The Lord's going to come first as a thief in the night. And it had been better for them not to have known the way than to have known it and turn from it. The only thing I can get out of that is that some people's going to face a more harsher judgment some way or another. Why would it be better not to have known than to know it and turn from it? Something's got to be there. Something's got to be there. And now listen, that's God's business right there. How God judges people, that's His business. What He does, He'll be righteous in everything He does. Right now, His arms are open wide saying, come unto me and be ye saved. Come unto me and be ye saved. I want you to stand.